David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacey from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. It is our author, Patrick Sanahan. He is an amazing individual who focuses on topics like procrastination. Today, his discussion will be surrounded about the topic, and he has some great advice, some great tools and techniques that he'd like to share with you for everyone out there who may have suffer a little bit from procrastination. We all have our little bit of tidbits that we could also tweak in our lives. So this is a great episode. So put your ears on and listen because you're really going to enjoy this episode. So Patrick, tell everybody about yourself. I'm really excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Stacey. I'm very excited also. So my name is Pat Sanahan. I have a small consulting firm in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 miles north of Philadelphia. And we play mostly in the higher education arena. We help campuses and universities plan for the future. We also help them with presidential transitions, like when a new person comes on board. And we also do a fair amount of board retreats and facilitation. We do a little bit of corporate work, but mostly it's higher education.
I would love to hear about procrastination. Now, you authored a book about a year and a half ago about procrastination. And as we were speaking, you know, up to 25% of our nation suffers from procrastination. And globally, I'm sure there's tons, you know, the percentages go way up. And, you know, it's a common characteristic that a lot of people have. And I don't know if you would characteristic it as a disorder or not, but a lot of people are procrastinators, you know, to some degree. And so I'd really love to learn more about that. And for people who suffer from it, maybe you can, you know, show us some different tools and techniques on how to overcome it.
Absolutely. Procrastination is a habit. I call it a mean habit because you pay a price for it. And right. A lot of procrastinators, you know, pay a price financially by late credit card payments, income tax returns, keep on delaying it, and the fees keep on hitting them. A lot of times going for a new job or writing a proposal, they'll put it off. And so they stay kind of static at their careers. And even the health field, a lot of people, a buddy of mine is a doctor who does colonoscopies, and about 15% of the people the day before they're going in to get a colonoscopy cancel. It gets too anxiety for them and too upsetting. And so they cancel. And this is something that could be really important for their physical health. So people delay going to the dentist. So procrastinators pay a price for it. And I wrote the book during COVID because I had a lot of time on my hands I'd never had before. I was on the road about 175 days a year for about 30 years.
Wow.
In a consulting practice. Yeah, and I'm very successful, very happy. I did good work and enjoyed my clients. But all of a sudden COVID hit and no one was flying and we're doing a lot of these Zoom meetings. But I had more time in my hand than I ever had before. And I looked around my office, which is a big office full of books and things. And I had three boxes of articles and journals and interviews about procrastination because it's something I've wrestled with my entire career.
Right.
And one of the premises of the book is you can be a productive procrastinator. I'm a very productive procrastinator. I have a doctorate. I've written 12 books. I have a great consulting business. But there's still a few things that I procrastinate around. Two of them, one is doing my income taxes because all the numbers and the math and the details, it just gets overwhelming for me.
Right.
And also invoicing clients. You know, when I'm on the road and I might have three clients in a 3-week trip, different fees for different clients. There's air tickets, there's hotel tickets, there's meal tickets. I just put it all in a box. And then when I get home, I kind of stare at the box for a couple of days saying, geez, I got to get down to this. So those are the two arenas that I still wrestle with, but I've come up with about, you know, 10, 15 smart strategies that really work to help you manage your procrastination.
Oh, that's great. Can you share with us some of those strategies?
Sure. It started about 30 years ago. I was writing my dissertation, getting a doctorate. And what I was doing was not writing the dissertation. I was reading it. I was doing more and more research and more and more. So it's a very sophisticated form of procrastination. But at the end of the day, you got to write the dissertation. So I met with my chair and he said, Pat, you've had 7 years, you've taken all your coursework, all your exams. But if you don't finish the dissertation this next year, you were going to have to say goodbye to you. And it was pretty scary that you put a lot of time, money, effort into getting a doctorate, and then I just hit a wall. So I was smart enough to ask my colleagues who had finished their dissertation, something really important for procrastinators to do. Don't go alone. Ask for advice. Ask for help, because most people will give you some good advice. And they all had these little strategies that helped them manage their own procrastination. And these are the three that I've used for about 30 years, and it might be helpful for your readers and listeners. And one is that it's really helpful to make your progress visible. And any way you can do that that says, I just did 30 minutes of work or 15 minutes of research, or I cleaned out the garage, a fourth of the garage. And if you can make it visible. So what I do, I don't know if you can see this, this is my agenda on a daily basis. It's bright yellow. I have it across my wall. So my six or seven things I have to do. Now, I used to have 10 and 12 things every day because procrastinators are oftentimes way too aspirational. I only limit it to six. And anytime I finish one of my agenda items, like talking to you, I'm going to go across the, I score it out with a big black marker and it feels wonderful. So I make my progress visible. The second one is chewable chunks. A lot of times people get caught into they got to sit down and they got to paint the house, the whole house. They got to clean out the garage, which could take a 2 or 3 days, or they got to write that chapter, which would take days and days and days. And they say, no, Pat, all you got to do is spend 30 minutes doing something and then take a break. Really? 30 minutes and take a break, 30 minutes and take a break. Now, the thing for procrastinators to watch out for is sometimes they'll take a break using social media, and then 6 hours later, they got to do something that's a little bit more constructive. Take a walk, have a cup of tea, talk to a friend, read something nice, but take a break every 30 minutes or so. And then the last one was rewards work. And this is something Stacey, I really resisted. They said, Pat, we have reward, they call them reward maps. We have little maps, all the things we like to do after we do something, we reward ourselves. And I said, and a lot of procrastinators get caught with this. I said, shouldn't I be more mature than that? Do I really need rewards? Shouldn't I be more disciplined? And to a person, they said, don't be stupid. Absolutely, rewards work. And it's a powerful notion. I resisted initially, but I know that they work. And the research shows that also rewards work. But I had one of my buddies, he wrote his dissertation. His was seven chapters, mine was six. But after every chapter he wrote, it's just like in a book, he said, a book, he would take a long golf weekend someplace beautiful. And sometimes the anticipation of reward, like a birthday party or a wedding party or just a regular party, it gets people more excited than the party itself. Well, he got so motivated to complete a chapter, and then he would get on the plane, go to Florida, go to Palm Beach, go someplace nice, and treat himself to a 3 day weekend of golf. So he knew he had a reward waiting for him, and it just pushed him through. He finished his dissertation in a year. So rewards work for your folks.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, you were saying like 20, like up to 25% in the United States alone. Are there certain personalities that are more prone to being procrastinators, or is this something that's really natural in all of us? We all have a little bit of procrastination inside of us.
We all have a little bit of procrastination in us. The chronic habit is they put off a lot of things in their lives, right? So, and what's so interesting, it's cross-cultural. You could drop me in Japan, Nairobi, China, Mexico, and about 20 to 25% of the adults in those different cultures and those different countries will be procrastinators. So it impacts everyone, absolutely. So it's a habit you got to be able to learn to manage. And you can do that. It's not take some practice, but you can do it. Those are the three things I talked about, the rewards, chewable chunks, and making your progress visible. Those are powerful little strategies, simple but very powerful little strategies that will help push you through your procrastination.
Have you ever found that people are in denial? They don't want to admit that they're actually procrastinators
Yeah,
and
right. Absolutely. Just ask your friends, ask your spouse, your partner, or your friends, and they'll tell you right away, yes, you do procrastinate. And so sometimes we have a blind spot. Everyone has blind spots. We don't see ourselves too well. But I always say, if you have a question about that, ask two of your colleagues at work, or ask your wife, husband, spouse, partner, what they think about you. Are you a procrastinator? And they'll tell you, I mean, it's pretty clear. They'll tell you pretty honestly, yes, you are. Or no, you only procrastinate about a few things.
Now, you mentioned that one of the main things that really inspired, you had some inspiration during lockdown to write this book. What was the passion behind it? Really, that the flame that ignited you to say, okay, I'm going to write a book, because a book is very time consuming, it's stressful, and it sucks the energy out of you. So, it's what really, ignited you to really want to write a book about it.
Yeah, it's a great question because writing a book is hard. It's not an easy task. And I've done 12 of those, and each one has been its own challenge. But most of them have been kind of what I would call professional, like how do you manage strategic planning or presidential transitions? And yeah, they're good books. They're very good books. This is the one book, I just finished a book on creativity, and it's a fun book, But this is the one I said to myself, I've wrestled with this, and I've had a lot of clients, very accomplished presidents of universities, people who are very, very well off financially. And they always wrestle with procrastination. And so I said, well, let me see what I have in the research, and then let me talk to I talked to a lot of people, over 100 leaders, and realized a lot of people wrestle with it. And so I said, well, I think I could help some people manage it, because the guilt and the anxiety and the stress that they feel, they pay a price for it. They really pay a price for it. It can destroy marriages and relationships. I mean, I've had some friends that have been engaged for 14 years. I mean, who are you kidding?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I
Yeah.
mean, come on, please. After a year or two, you should know something, right? So, I mean, it's something that plagues a lot of people in small ways, in small parts of their lives. But there's people who have chronic procrastination, about 20 to 25%. And that's tens of millions of people.
And that's a lot of people. I don't think people realize that the large amount. When you think about, our nation and our population, and you take that percentage, that's a huge chunk of
Yeah,
people.
50, 60 million people who, wake up in the morning and have a hard time because they put something off. I mean, it's a mean habit. Can I explain kind of like what it is?
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, usually what happens is there's a task you don't want to do. Now, it could be overwhelming, it could be complicated. Like for me, the income tax just gets overwhelming. And you get stressful, you get dread. And what happens, this is the power, it's a habit. What happens if you step away from the task? Oh, right away you feel better. Within a second, oh, I feel better. Now, intellectually, you understand I still got to do my income taxes, but when I leave that desk and say I'm done, I just the emotional relief is powerful, and that is the hook. And that's a powerful, powerful hook. The minute you leave, you feel better, and it just keeps on going. So you got to stop it somehow.
And where do how do you stop it? Because you know what, when you do have that bad habit, you gave us some tools, to help us along the way. But when you have a bad habit that you've done for years and years and years and years, and maybe almost your whole entire life, you've carried this characteristic, what is the starting point, the step one, to, because people, when they see they have to break a bad habit, and
Right.
they see what's involved, they get overwhelmed. Just you just
Absolutely.
so what are the little stepping stones that you find are effective for breaking a bad habit like
Yeah,
that?
well, you said it really on target, Stacy. Starting is the hardest part for procrastinators. Somehow you have to make starting easier. And so an example might be, I try to walk 10,000 steps a day because I want to, be physically active. I can't run anymore because I'm older and my hips are gone, but I can walk forever. And so when I started that habit of walking, that's a positive habit. The first day it was kind of cold outside, so I'm saying I'm looking for my shoes and do I wear a hat? And could it rain? And maybe I needed to. And I spent about 3 or 4 minutes kind of confused and looking for stuff. And I finally sat down and had a cup of coffee. So I talked to a buddy of mine. And I said, God, it was frustrating as hell. And he says, well, you got to make it a routine, Pat. Well, what do you mean by that? He said, put your shoes and the socks and the clothes in one part of your house. And when you get up in the morning, whatever you do, then you walk to that section Everything's there, and within a minute, you're dressed and you're out the door. And it is exactly true. So a routine of some kind like that can really help. Hemingway had a routine. Now, he's a great writer, a couple of Nobel Prizes. He would write standing up, and he would write for 5 hours or complete 5 pages. That was his routine. And so there's a lot of, like Stephen King, same thing. He sits down every morning at 8:30, has a cup of tea, he has a pen and a pencil, paper, and he begins to write, and he tries to write for 6 hours with some breaks in between. So if you can build a routine of some kind, I think that's going to be really helpful. And the other thing is, some people, if they build a ritual, like sometimes playing your favorite music can put people in a state where, whew, I can't wait to get going. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So a little bit of routine. I have a friend of mine who burns sage. Has a very unique and the minute it does it, she just gets into a place. A routine gets into a place, and she's ready to work for hours and hours and hours. So some kind of ritual or routine can be very helpful.
I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
One other thing. Can I add one other thing? There's something called temptation bundling. It's a powerful notion. I didn't re hear about it until about 7 or 8 years ago. And temptation bundling, the minute you hear yourself, of course, it's when you marry something not a negative that you don't want to do, like clean the garage or go running, with something positive. So if you have to clean out the garage, you play the sports station, or you play music, or you play the baseball game and listen to it while you're cleaning out the garage. That'll get you through that. You walk with a friend or run with a friend. You see these running clubs all over the place. There's a reason for that. It gets people motivated to do some difficult kinds of things. So that's something that's really helped temptation bundling. If you got to do the laundry, no one wants to do the laundry. You can play music or watch TV or watch a movie while you're doing it. So if you can marry something nice with something not so nice, it'll move you forward.
And
Does that
that's
help?
so true. Oh yeah, because many times I've done things that I don't really want to do, and I'll put music on, and I'll put the music that I like on, and it will take that mode of, oh, I really don't want to do this, and then I'm focusing on the music that relaxes me and or peps me up, and I'm in a totally different zone. I'm getting this stuff done, but I'm focusing in my brain on that music, and it's getting me. So I'm accomplishing two things, and at the end, I'm not as stressed out, as I
Absolutely. No, that's great. That's great that you do that. And that's what happens. If you have something positive kind of married to it, as it were, bundled to it, it makes it a little bit easier. And that's the thing, is kind of get through that initial, oh, I don't want to do this. And like, we do know that when you start something, about 50% of the time, people will continue. I'm not saying they're going to finish it, but they will continue. Well, 50% of the time is a pretty good, that's a pretty good average. So just knowing that you can start something, you'll continue. After 10 minutes, people say, that wasn't too bad. Let me do another 10 minutes. So starting is really important, but naturally you figured out the temptation bundling. Playing pretty music or nice music for you can get you through a difficult task.
I was wondering as you were talking, when people are procrastinators, when they're chronic procrastinators, are there maybe other conditions or other issues in their life that they have that are linked to that personality? Is there anything?
I didn't find any in the research. Now, there's some people who are clinically depressed. I mean, people who have a hard time getting out of bed. This book is not going to help them. They got to deal with their deep depression. I mean, there's a lot of those kind of folks, and God bless them. I mean, I hope that they find help. That's where psychotherapy can work, or working with a psychiatrist or something like that. A lot of people can't afford a psychologist, right? I mean, at 250 an hour for a good one. I mean, you hear that, but there's about 5% of the people who really need some kind of psychological support. But the rest of us can learn strategies and tools to kind of manage it. And that's why I say I can manage it. I don't cure it. I have a doctorate, but I'm not a psychiatrist. So you can manage it. And these little tools and techniques are very helpful.
They sound very helpful. I like the idea, especially when you talked about going for a walk and you have everything organized already. And then it's just like boom, 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 boom. And I do that all the time. I create everything in templates. I create everything in bundles. So it's just like when I do things, everything's prepared for me. And I put everything back where it belongs afterwards. And the next time I do it, so it's not as stressful, and you don't have to think so much, you don't have to stress too much, it's already pre-done for you.
Absolutely. Those are some great strategies. You had to be so productive. I mean, absolutely. You have a national audience, so you've got to be, some things have to be put in place. Like you said, you got to go back and make sure it's okay. You don't just first day you have your clothes in the right spot and you move, you do your 10 times, and then you come home and you throw your shoes over here. So you have to have discipline on both ends, but it can really be helpful.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, when, are there other tools and techniques for different
Yes,
situations? I would love to hear about.
absolutely. This is a little bit of a story. Mark Twain, he was a very famous writer.
Yeah,
He
yeah,
told us a great quote. He said, "Hey, if you have two frogs to eat, eat the big one first."
yeah.
And it sounds, oh, okay. Procrastinators will never eat the big one first. Ain't gonna happen. Other people might do it, but procrastinators will not. So my
Right.
suggestion is look at the smaller task or the smaller frog and tackle that. Do it in chewable chunks, 10 minutes at a time. Make it a social activity with a friend. Reward yourself. Acknowledge your progress. And you might be able to get through that smaller task. Now I feel successful, right? I said, oh, I got that thing done. I didn't want to do it, but I got it done. Getting done is really important. Don't worry about the time box because people are very bad at deadlines. So I can do that in an hour, and in 3 hours later, they're still struggling and then they get frustrated. So you've got to be much more realistic about that. And then I've done the small task or eaten a small frog. I could say, you know, let's take some of the things I did successfully and tackle the bigger task. Chewable chunks, make it social, reward myself. So I just think that's it's a misdirection, I think, for a lot of procrastinators. It's okay to start with a small task, build confidence, build momentum, and then tackle the tougher thing.
I think that's important too. You said the magic word, build confidence. Like, hey, this is not
Yes.
so bad. I could do this,
Absolutely.
and the more confident they get, I think the easier it is to break the bad habit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Confidence is just a belief that you'll be successful. People say, oh, you have to have a lot of confidence. If I believe I'll be successful at something, I will tackle it. But if I think, oh, geez, it's just too complicated, it's too overwhelming, I'm not going to do that. So, exactly. Confidence is a belief that you can do it. And you don't have to do it all by yourself. I hope that people hear that. Don't get caught in the lone warrior kind of thing. If you can have people help you and then you help them. I'll give you a quick story. Would this be okay?
Of course.
So I got a buddy of mine about 3 years ago, and he's has a three-car garage, and he collects antiques and knickknacks. And he's not like a hoarder, but close. All three car spaces are completely filled up with boxes and trophies and awards. And his wife was getting upset because the kids couldn't even put their bikes away, and she could never park her car.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And so he calls me up, and what he would do is he'd raise up the three doors, and right away after he did that, he would just get overwhelmed and say, "I'm not doing this," and just shut the doors down. So he did that for like 6 months, and his wife was getting more upset. So he gives me a call and says, "What do you think, Pat?" I said, "I have some advice for you." He said, "Yeah, anything." I said, "Is there somebody else in your neighborhood that has a crappy garage?" He said, "The guy right across the street's got a. He's worse than I am." His name was Bill. So, okay, here's what you do next Saturday. You knock on Bill's door, you bring a six pack of beer over, and you say, "Bill, I'd like to offer you something. I'm going to buy you a beer and I'm going to help you clean out your garage for 1 hour. Would you be interested?" Well, who's going to say no to that offer? He said, "The only deal is next week you come to my house and you buy me a beer and you work for an hour, just an hour, not clean out the whole garage. That would have been a days and days. See the overwhelming piece." And it took them 3 months going back and forth. They enjoyed each other's company. They learned a lot about different beers. And they made each one of their garages doable. I mean, they weren't perfect. They didn't have all the racks in place and they alphabetized, but they could fit one car into the garage and all the bikes. That's a victory.
That is
So
a
if you
victory.
can work with somebody else, it is really helpful to do that.
I like that idea. That's great. When you find someone you can bond with and it has a common denominator, the same as you, and then you give each
Absolutely.
other back and forth, it really makes it easier. It makes it, that support is big. That, it's monumental. It really is.
Absolutely.
A
That's
big
the thinking
fan.
behind Weight Watchers or Alcoholics Anonymous or any of those kind of self-help groups. To be a
Yeah.
part of a group is really, really helpful. It gives you spiritual support in some places, emotional support, strategies that you can do. So if you can do it with a group, I used to be a part of a writing group for my first book that I wrote, like, 20 odd years ago.
Yeah.
And we met once a month for half a day. And some of the people in the group were kind of famous in this area. If you mentioned their names, oh yeah, we heard about him. And there was eight people, and I never missed a meeting.
Right.
And sometimes some people miss meetings, usually around health things or something else happened, but you never
Yeah.
came prepared to the group because you would let people down. So
Right.
I'm going to say to them, oh, I just was too busy, ladies and gentlemen. They'd say, what? So that's a social pressure that is, the risk is high because you don't want to disappoint them, but they also
Yeah.
come to the table well prepared and ready to go. It helped me write my first book in, I guess it was 98. So
Wow.
some kind of group support is really important.
Yes, I agree totally. I agree totally. I think those are great pointers. You want group support, having a support buddy, having, trying to build your self-esteem, realizing once you start getting things done, hey, I could do this. This is not
Yes.
so bad. And that kind of ties in with the bundling also. If you're getting stressed and you're putting on music or you have something in the background like your favorite sports channel and your team is playing that day, it makes it a lot easier. It takes that stress off, and go ahead. You're
No,
gonna say something.
absolutely. No, you're exactly it. You're exactly. I hope that people are hearing that. The stress can be overwhelming. What you want to do is reduce it, and there's ways you can reduce that so that you can move forward. And you don't have to complete the whole darn thing. If you do
Yeah.
10 minutes, that's a lot better than nothing. Another 10
Yes.
minutes, all of a sudden you're moving forward and forward. So exactly right. Support, confidence, reducing your stress. Really important points.
I think that's one of the main things a lot of people think about is think about the whole picture. And they think about,
Yes.
again, the whole picture done, and that overwhelms them completely and throws them
Yeah.
all the way back.
Absolutely. I mean, a book is a bunch of chapters, right?
Yeah.
Little sections. Now, it's a big task. The first time I did it, that's why I went to the writers group and said, oh, am I supposed to edit myself? And do I have to buy a get an editor to fix my writing? Because my writing's very informal. I'm very prolific, but I'm informal. I'm all over the place. That's where I
Yeah.
need an editor who's going to publish. I had 55 different questions, and they said, Pat, take one chapter, write an introduction, and that's all you got to do for the time being. So it's chewable chunks is really an important concept. The other
Oh,
thing to
yeah.
think through too, Stacy, is a lot of procrastinators have this myth in their head that says, I have to feel motivated. And if you're waiting around to feel motivated, you ain't going to get nothing done. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, I'm never going to feel motivated to do my income tax returns. I
Right.
gotta do them, so I gotta figure out how do I do them. But if I'm waiting for a good feeling about, oh, I just can't wait to do my income tax, I'll
Yeah.
be waiting, I'll be dead. So
Right.
it's really important. What we know is that movement creates energy, and energy creates motivation. So
Yes.
it's action, movement, and then motivation, not the other way around. People say, I have to wait till I'm motivated. Just do something and then see what happens. It's really important. I mean, it causes people a lot of pain because I'm never going to feel good about doing the invoices or my income tax, but I got to do them.
Yeah. And you had mentioned earlier in the conversation about writing things down and maybe writing the things that you've done down, is keeping a journal and really looking back at,
Yes.
accomplished, vital.
Yes, absolutely. The writing things down. I forget the guy's name. I think his last name was Allen. He wrote about seven books on time management and effectiveness, and really good guy. And he said, this is not a storage facility. This is a thinking facility. So get all
Yeah.
those thoughts out on paper and get, it's like a data dump. And I do that all the time. Put it all down on paper. Then you figure out, okay, what is doable in one day and how do I do that? But writing things down is really an important strategy to get it out of your head swimming around. I do a lot of work with senior leaders who's wrestling some very complex problems. And I said, well,
Right.
just explain it to me. And I usually have a whiteboard or a flip chart. And I'm not an artist. I just do stick figures and squares and numbers. And
Yeah.
I map it out. As they're talking, I say, this is what I'm hearing. And they're saying, yes, that's what's in my head. So they get it out of their head, overwhelmed. And now they have it, maybe an hour, hour and a half of conversation. They have it on a whiteboard. And they can say, that's what I'm wrestling with. Then you can bring other people and say, hey, this is the thought pattern and the critical decision-making processes. Help us think what we're missing. And then all of a sudden people can help collaborate. But I can't see it if it's in your head. Does that mean, does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yes, definitely. Definitely. I like that idea. I think it's very important to like journal your ideas down. Like you
Yes.
said, you're just a thought process machine. And it's, and to get it all on paper and to really physically see it, you could start to really come out with some, important solutions that could change things, I think, for the better.
Absolutely. Also, it's really helpful to have a what we call an accountability partner. And that's different than a thought partner. A thought partner is somebody that you trust how they think, and they hopefully think differently than you do, because you don't want to be, thinking about yourself. I mean, if you're thinking the same way, oh, Stacy, that sounds good. No problem. You can do that in 2 days. But you get somebody who says, well, when's the last time you did that, Stacy? Well, last year I did. It took 4 weeks. I say, well, let's see if we can reconfigure what our expectations are, because we procrastinators tend to be very over aspirational. So a thought partner can kind of challenge your thinking. An accountability partner is something different. That's someone who you have a lot of respect for and someone you wouldn't want to disappoint. So we don't have too many of those people in our lives, right? But this is for high risk things, like finishing the chapter, last chapter of the book, and you sit down with Mary and you say, by the end of the month, I'm going to have the chapter done in draft form. And you kind of give your word. And then Mary says, okay, is there anything I can do to help? Should I call you like every Tuesday to check in you? That would be helpful, Mary. But at the end of the month, I'm going to show you my draft chapter. And 90% of the time, if you've got an accountability partner that you respect, you'll get done the noxious task, or you'll move it forward in a very dramatic way because you don't want to disappoint them. Does that make, I mean, it's different than a thought partner.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think accountability coaches or people who that you kind of set into to talk to, I think are very important, because you set goals, you set things that you want done. They're honest with you. They think they're if it's a good idea or not, and they help you break it down into easy, to easy steps, and then it's your responsibility to get those steps done at a certain time, and you don't want to disappoint them because you do respect them, and you do want to get those things accomplished also. So I think those type of coaches and those type of people are important, to have in your daily life.
Absolutely. It sounds like you have had some success coaches in your own career. I think that that's
Oh,
very
definitely.
helpful. It's very helpful. And they're not emotionally attached to you. Your friends love you, right? And they
Right.
say, oh, Stacy, it's okay if you do that tomorrow, do that next week. But
Yeah.
someone who you respect, you say, oh, hold on now. We said we were committed to this. What steps do we need to take to do that? And they can hold you accountable in a constructive way, but
Right.
it can be a very positive strategy to for a lot of people to use. I have two
Yes.
accountability coaches. They're not coaches, they're colleagues. And they're not
Yes.
easy on me, and I'm not easy on them because we give each other our word for things that are very, very difficult.
Right, exactly. Yes, 100%. This has been really amazing. Now, do you have other techniques or tools that you
Yeah, let me give
want
you a couple. There's something called a pre-mortem. And procrastinators never think, they always think it's going to be a golden highway, that I'm just going to be able to write this thing or do this task or do this, that. And the reality is, there's mud pies everywhere, right? I mean, there's.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
There's time, there's attention, there's all kinds of things. The kids, partners, spouses, responsibilities, something blows up at work, things get in the way. And what happens with procrastinators is they never think about doing a pre-mortem. So usually what we do, and this is usually with senior executives, is they have a goal that they want to accomplish. And you don't want to have too many goals. You just want to have a handful of goals, maybe for a year.
Yes.
And you say, okay, let's say we come back here a year from now and you worked really hard, you tried really good, you met so many challenges, but you failed. What got in the way?
Right.
And for you to then begin and say, well, instead of those four goals, I should have probably had two. I took on a work assignment that was important, but it just drained my energy, so I never had any time to do the other thing I was supposed to do.
Right.
My kids wanted more of my time, which they deserve, right? So you didn't build in your, oh, you didn't build the fact that you want to be at home 3 days a week and on Sundays. So it's just anticipating. That's where the accountability or the thought partner come in. Before we start, what could get in our way? And like I said, you'll be able in 10 minutes to figure out what the mud pies are. And then you figure out, okay, instead of those four goals, I'll just do two goals. I want to make sure I commit to my kids 3 days a week when I'm home from work. And it just makes the, it gives you a realistic picture of what's doable. And that it's really a valuable thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you because I don't think people really they focus on, okay, this is what I want to do, and they think about the success behind it once they do it,
Yes.
but they don't think about the obstacles that can come in between. And so when they do, they're overwhelmed, they're stressed, they're
Absolutely. Oh, I didn't see that coming. So get somebody to be a thought partner with you and say, do a pre-mortem. What could get in the way here? Because they're
yes.
there. And like you said, the minute if it's, it go, oh, I didn't realize this is a responsibility. What happened here? Then it
Yeah.
just sucks their motivation dry. It's really very, very hard. The other thing that is really important for procrastinators is too many choices is a danger zone for
Yeah.
procrastinators. And there's a lot of research behind this, and there's a, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but the book name is Paradox of Choice. It's a great little book. It's only about 120 pages. It's a professor out of Swarthmore, which is in Pennsylvania, and I'm trying to remember his name, but I can't. But the Paradox of Choice, and what he has found with his research, and some of the researchers at University of Penn have done the same thing. Three choices is all you need. Like if you
Right.
have vanilla or chocolate, yeah, okay, but you throw in butter pecan. All of a sudden, now you have some choices. You don't have to put 15 different blueberry and caramel and things like that. So, having three choices and not 15 is probably a smart thing to do. Would that be helpful at all?
Oh yeah, and I've seen that with procrastinators. They get a lot of
Yes.
choices, and they get so many that they become so overwhelmed, and I don't think they realize it's because they have so many choices. And a lot of times I see them going and looking for choices, and they're just asking anybody, and they're asking
Yes.
people who aren't even qualified to answer and
Right,
give
right.
answers.
So it's, if you come up with three, I had a buddy of mine at the, back in the day, you used to get Consumer's Report once a month. You had to wait, for it to come out, and you'd look at the cars. And nowadays, you can, Google and you can find a billion things about cars. You went to buy a car about 2 years ago, and he got caught in paralysis analysis. He couldn't get enough. Oh, look at this model. This model, it's EV. This is a hybrid. A whole year passed, and new cars came out. And his wife said, get out of the way, I'm buying a car today. And she did. She just went out there and bought a car. But he got caught into this cycle of more choices, more and more opportunities, more data, more information. So you got to figure out if I got three, you're probably in good shape. It,
Right.
it's really important to watch out for that. And the other thing to watch out for procrastinators is distractions are killers. So if there's something in your environment that's distracting. And that could be your kids playing in the backyard, right? So you might have to go someplace else. You're not going to tell them don't play. It could be a lot of clatter going around in the office. It could be some loud stuff going on. It could be a TV that's blaring. It could be the
Yeah.
computer that's going ding, 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 ding. And
Right.
procrastinating, they're like attention magnets. And
Yes.
you've got to, well, anytime I have to work, I have a small workspace. I have a work, I have a fancy office where I meet clients because you have to do that. But my
Yeah.
workspace is very small and very focused with no distractions.
Right.
And that enables me to do a whole lot of work in a very short period of time. So getting rid of the distractions, go someplace else. If the kitchen table is where you do your work and it's always cluttered, go someplace else. Just go someplace else and get it done. But distractions really are attention magnets. And attention is like a resource. It's like a battery. It can get low with lots of distractions. So watch out for your distractions because they're killers as far as getting focus and getting things moving forward.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, 100%. And do you think they could easily realize those distractions? Sometimes I see people they that when they're that when they are procrastinators, they just it's like some of them seem oblivious, like to what's going on. They're so used to this behavior that they don't
Yes.
even see. That this is a distraction. Oh, you're asking too many questions. You're they don't it's just they seem like they're in another, time zone.
Yeah, they well, because they got so much stuff going on in their head, the possibilities and doing this and doing that. And being focused is not easy. You know that. I mean, being focused takes discipline, right? And it takes some time and effort. Once again, you don't have to sit down for an hour. If you sit down for 10 or 15 minutes, that's a victory right there, and take a little bit of a break and things like that. But they can be kind of caught in their own world and
Yes.
being distracted. And these computers are wonderful things, but are also attention magnets. And I know in a few offices, you hear that dinging every time you email people. Ooh, someone wants me, someone needs me, someone loves me. Turn that dinger off for an hour and you'll be very focused. In fact, they've done some research with smartphones and have people put the smartphone in a different room in their house or their office for an hour.
Yeah.
And initially people get very anxious to be
Yeah.
away from their smartphone for an hour, not for a day, just for an hour. But if they manage that, what they find, they can really be focused and move things forward, because we can pull these things out and we can touch anything we want to. It's just extraordinary. We can cross the world in 10 seconds, and there's a lot of positives with that, and there's also a lot of negatives with that.
I always say, like when I see people like that, I'm like, well, we didn't have it back in the day. I got my first cell phone when I was 30, and we were fine, without the cell phone. We were very productive people and we didn't need to know who wanted us every single second,
Oh, that, yeah, I mean, it's they were designed for that. I mean, if you read about some of the research, they designed this stuff. They know how our brain works. This wasn't a bunch of just tech people. They got physicists and they got psychologists to design these things that just suck our energy out. So you have to have a little bit of discipline. Once 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day to move the smartphone into a different room. Then people say, oh, what if I have an emergency? I said, when's the last time you had an emergency? Well, I haven't had any emergencies, but I could, Pat. You know what I mean? We're so silly sometimes, but do it for 15 minutes and build it up to an hour. You'll be very, very, very focused. There's no doubt about that.
Oh,
One
definitely.
thing I wanted to mention, Stacey, is that okay?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
There's a guy who just passed away, a very famous guy, Daniel Kahneman, and he's written a dozen books. He won the Nobel Prize for economics in 2002. So bright guy, really bright guy. And he's written many things, but the one that really, and I have a little placard in my office, and he was part of a, he was an Israeli American, and he was doing a curriculum review process for the country of Israel. They were going to look at curriculum, how we teaching kids and things like that, and they blocked out a whole summer, and they brought experts from all over Israel and all other places, and he thought he'd be done at the end of the summer. It took him 7 years. And it started him thinking, why would something take so long and be harder? And that's what I have a little motto on my wall. He says, in important tasks, it'll always take longer, almost always take longer. So if you say a week, it's probably going to take a week and a half, and maybe even 2 weeks, and it'll be harder. So that's where the rewards and chewable chunks, all those little things. I mean, for him to kind of frame that as a headline for his career, it's going to take longer and it's going to be harder. So you got to realize, knowing that, how do I kind of manage that complexity? Is that helpful?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Now, if we were going to take everything we talked about today and you wanted to make some important emphases, what would you say to the listeners today that you really want to emphasize on?
I appreciate that. I think the two things, and this is showing up in the research, is being critical of yourself doesn't help. If you say, oh, geez, I don't have the discipline, or I must be not so smart, or da, 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 and we do that way too much, way too often. Self-compassion works. If you drop the ball, you say, you know, Pat, let's tackle it tomorrow. You didn't do it today, but let's tackle it tomorrow. But self-compassion, I did a lot of research with students on this. A lot of the procrastination research comes from students in college, because you can kind of manage them and look at them and test them and things like that. And they found the ones that were able to forgive themselves, a little bit of self-compassion, tend to produce great things in the next semester. So being self-compassionate, I think, is really, really important. And for me, I think that you got to figure out some rewards, things that will motivate you. Not that doesn't mean you go around the world in 80 days because you finish something, but long trips, dinner with friends, rewards are really powerful motivators. And last thing would be, there's a guy named Baumeister. I forget his name. First name might be Robert Baumeister. He wrote a book called Motivation. And there's a lot of theories about motivation that, oh, motivation is like this big bucket that we have. And he said, no, motivation is like a small little battery, and it runs out fast. So you have to be very strategic with motivation, right? And so sometimes starting, that's when you need your motivation. It just jumpstarts yourself. In the middle, some people fade. I tend to fade on projects towards the end. So I
Okay.
do, I'm a good starter, I'm a good kind of in the middle. The last mile for me is the hardest. That's when I really got to use my motivation and my little techniques to kind of push it through. And it's helpful if you're doing a project with somebody else to say, you know, this is where I kind of fall apart. I have a hard time starting. Well, I can do the starting and then you can do the finishing. I mean, whatever it is you can do with a partner is really important. But it's motivation is very, very small and you got to use it very, very strategically. Is that helpful?
That's very helpful. Now, can you tell everybody the title of your book and where they can find it?
Yes, it's on Amazon.com. I mean, when I put this up, I'm not sure they're going to see the thing because of, but it's called How to Be a Better Procrastinator. And I think it's $5.99 for the Kindle and I think $11 for the paper book. And it's a very practical book. I wrote it for procrastinators. Procrastinators very rarely will start in page one. What they'll do is they'll kind of open up the book and then page 44. Well, on page 44, there'll be a strategy. 20% of people start at the back of a book, right?
Oh, really?
I got summary lessons in the back of the book. So it's designed for procrastinators because they won't sit down and go page one, page two. They'll kind of skim it really quickly, and wherever they skim, they'll find an idea.
Oh, that's very unique. I like that. I
Yeah,
never
it is
even thought.
kind of different. How to Be a Better Procrastinator. And then once again, it's on Amazon Books, and there's a number of my books on there.
And your website, where can people find you?
It's my last name. Behind me, this is Sanhan Group. It has a lot of the things that we do as case studies. It has books. I've been published 50 times. So I wanted people to realize I'm a productive procrastinator, but I still procrastinate.
Right.
And it's frustrating. If you judge yourself, it's kind of frustrating. But I know what I do with when I do my income taxes, what I do is I watch sports while I'm doing it. Because I love sports. And I do 10 minutes of work and then I watch the football game, especially the Philadelphia Eagles, and another 10 minutes. Now it takes me three times as long, but I get done. And that's what you have to realize. The goal is to get done eventually, not with these weird times. We're very bad at deadlines, very bad at deadline estimating. So whatever you can do, and be nice to yourself. Just be nice to yourself. Tomorrow's a new day, a new opportunity.
That's so true. That's so true. Well, I gotta tell you, Patrick, this has been amazing. I really enjoyed this, and I hope you come
Been nice.
back. This is, I think it's such an important topic because I think we all have a little procrastination within in us, and I think we just, and some, like you said, some are chronic. Some of us have just a little bit here and there for things we don't want to do. But, I think that we all could benefit from those tools and techniques that you described today. I think they're very beneficial. And I really thank you for taking the time out to explain it to us and to share some of these tools and techniques.
Thank you. This was an enjoyable conversation, Stacey. Much appreciated. Take care.
Oh, you too. You have a great day.
All righty.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.